Matthew chapter 17 gives us a powerful insight into keys for living. Because in Matthew chapter 17, verse 14, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came with him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? I'm glad they had the courage to ask that question, and they were very curious in this matter and wanted to know why they were not able to do what Jesus evidently had just done. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain," say with me, "this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." So here we find the full spectrum of helping and delivering and setting the captive free. I want you to write down some of these simple yet, I believe, profound points that God has made real to my heart. You see, you have mountain-moving faith. Mountain-moving faith is what this is all about. Mountains speak to us of that which is permanent. And the Bible has a fascination with addressing mountains. Some are called by name. He lets you call your mountain by whatever name you might give it. But a mountain speaks to us of that which is permanent. And you know, our frustration and our discouragement and depression or oppression or whatever comes when we view a mountain and we come to understand that it just seems that mountain is impossible. I'm talking about hopelessness. Someone loses their hope, they're in trouble. That's why we believe in the big three from 1 Corinthians 13. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. Every one of them are major keys in overcoming in the life of the believer. So as we look at this portion of God's word, mountain-moving faith is in my mouth. Mountain-moving faith is in my mouth. Write that down. That just came to me after I got to church this morning. Mountain-moving faith is in my mouth. It's not in your computer. It's not in your bank account. It's not in your briefcase or your purse. It's not stored away in a closet somewhere. Mountain-moving faith is in my mouth. You say, now give us something deep. I'm already launched out into the deep. It's not what we don't understand about that. It's what we do understand about that that we're saying, Move on to the next point, Pastor. Mountain-moving faith is in my mouth. Now, I want you to write this down also. No mountain is bigger than the promises of God. No mountain is bigger than the promises of Almighty God. Call that mountain by whatever name you will. But no mountain, I want to say it again, no mountain is bigger than the promises of God. Because the moment your mountain becomes bigger than God's promises, you face at that moment an impossible problem. The moment your mountain becomes bigger than the promises of God, at that moment, your mountain and your problems become, as far as you're concerned, impossible. So, mountain moving faith is in my mouth. No mountain is bigger than the promises of God. And I must keep it that way. Because the moment my mountain becomes bigger than God's promises, I really face, for all practical purposes, an impossible problem. Now, here's another insight about this mountain, because Jesus is dealing with mountains. He said, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds, the smallest of all seeds. No mountain is unmovable. People have spent a lot of time trying to convince me that their mountain is unmovable. And on that point, I am unmovable. But pastor, you don't understand. My mountain, this mountain is unmovable. But no mountain is unmovable. Just go back and do a careful reading of these verses. Say unto this mountain. This mountain. What mountain are you talking about? The mountain that's been bugging you all week. All month. Sometimes for years of your life. That one mountain, you do real well until the memory of that mountain or the visual presence of that mountain arises and you think, here we go again. Say with me, no mountain is unmovable. Even though a mountain is the most permanent thing that we think of in this world, no mountain is unmovable. Now let's go a little further into this simple yet profound analogy that I feel the Spirit of God prompted me to consider from Matthew chapter 17. Actually, it begins in verse 14 right on through verse 21. Every mountain, according to what the Word of God says, every mountain can be geographically moved and cast into the midst of the sea. You say, but pastor, he's not talking about ski mountains. I discovered that years ago. I thought, boy, Texas is going to have a ski mountain after all. It's not fair that New Mexico and Utah and Colorado and Alaska and Oregon and Washington and all these places have these beautiful mountains. And I was skiing one day and I said, be thou removed. I cast you into Texas. So I won't have to drive so far. Be removed. That mountain just didn't say a word. I'd ski it and come back up. I was really into that one day. That's been a few years ago. I've learned some things since then. But I thought I found me the secret to getting a ski mountain in Texas. Let me assure you that God was not referring to a Colorado or New Mexico or Utah or whatever mountain. He's talking about those impossible, improbable, unmovable, always in your face. He's talking about those things that just bother you and disturb you and bug you and preoccupy your thinking. But every mountain, I'm talking about the mountains that really need to move. Every mountain can be geographically moved and cast into the midst of the sea. Somewhere else, completely, than where they are now. Let me give you a for instance. I've seen God move people. I've not only seen God change people, I've seen God move people. In the most improbable ways, in the improbable times. I've literally seen something you thought would never move, could never move, was just going to be in your face the rest of your life. And I've seen God move. God knows how to move problematic situations. God knows how to move problematic people. God knows how to move people that have devoted the rest of their life to making your life to be very difficult. God can do it. I've seen God do it. I've witnessed God do it so many times. It's kind of like in the Psalms, it said, I looked for them and they weren't there. And of course, in the Isaiah letter, you know, he's talking about no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against me in judgment, I'll show to be in the wrong. That works if you're right. And then it spoke of the enemies, that they're not even there. God knows how to move things and people and circumstances out of the way. You say things of long standing? Oh, yes. You know, things move much quicker for us than they moved in Bible days. I mean, those people waited a long time for some of those things to come to pass. I mean, years went by. Months went by. Time. God does not see time like we do. I have to constantly remind myself of that. God does not think of time as we think of time. God does not see time like we see time. We get frustrated if we have prayer on Sunday morning and I gave $5 on Sunday morning, and why didn't God do it before Sunday night? You see how Abraham had his faith on the line. And then I go to Noah and I think, thank God I've not been in a building program for 120 years. Well, I know they live longer, but that's still a long time to be in a building program. But you see, God literally can geographically move and cast into the midst of the sea. Move something or someone or whatever it may be somewhere else completely. God can do that. And I've seen God do that. But let me tell you something that's bigger than that. That would be the easy part if we knew how to approach that verse and get annoying people out of the way. Or get a business person or, you know, someone that's just an ex-husband or an ex-wife. Some of you start shouting on me now. Hold steady here. I mean the warfare that goes on. But you know, the greatest mountain that will ever be moved is that mountain inside of us that just praises God anyhow. That just gives God all the glory, though it hasn't happened as yet. That somehow finds a place of peace before they see the manifestation. Instead of this thing constantly. You say, how do you know so much about this? Because I do. I do. Believe me, I do. Oh, I drink from the same well that you drink from. I serve the same Lord that you serve. I live in the same world that you live in. And I understand, being a reverend, being a preacher, an ordained minister of the gospel of Christ does not change anything about me, because I must use faith like you must use faith. I receive like you receive. We're all in the same world. We're all in the same world. I know what I'm talking about. The greatest mountain that can and will ever be moved is when you can say with the Apostle Paul, I am content. It may break your jaw the first time or two you say it. I would be content if something that's in my face would move. But what God's waiting for you is just to praise the Lord and to have the victory and to wake up saying, regardless, God is on the throne. Prayer changes things. The promises of God work. No matter how many pressure points, no matter how many things come and go, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. This too shall pass. Because that and them and it is not the source of my peace. It is not the source of my contentment. God is my source. God is my mental source, my physical source, my spiritual source. You say, well, people getting all excited. No more excited than when someone slings a hockey puck down the court or makes a basket or catches, makes a touchdown or whatever. I don't know how to say this because I'm cut out of the same cloth you are. But I'm addicted to this. I'm addicted to this. I'm addicted to the Word of God. I'm addicted to the promises of God. I'm addicted to coming to church and praising God, trusting God. I'm addicted to giving to God. It's a way of life with me. I was taught it grudgingly in the early years of my life and thought I might have a better idea. But oh, praise God, as time comes and goes. Folks, the greatest thing that you can ever have in your hand is the Word of God. The greatest thing you can ever have in your heart is the promises of God. The greatest thing that will ever happen in your life is to make your personal peace with God. I'm addicted to this. Not just because I'm a pastor, not just because I'm an ordained minister of the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Folks, there is no life outside of this. There is no life. There is no life in the rich and the famous and the fast lane or the intellectual upper class or whatever you want to call it. Everything is hollow. Everything is shallow. Everything is vanity. It's vanity, I'm telling you. It's zero. The only thing that will hold you, the only thing that will steady you, the only thing that will see you through is faith in the promises of Almighty God. Thank God for all the blessings that God gives us, but here's the big one right here. The grass withereth, the flower fades away, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Praise be unto God. I mean, I was just ready to get up this morning and I got a phone call from another state. One of our young preachers. He said, I don't know what's wrong with me. I said, what do you mean? He said, the Bible is like two black covers and a blank page in between. Yeah, I understand that. Tell me more. I don't have anything to preach. I've studied all week and I don't have anything. And then beside that, had a little criticism and gossip that came up in the church on Thursday and Friday. And that's kind of been overwhelming. So you know what I did? I've already preached this once this morning. I said, wait just a moment. I have just what you need. Well, Pastor Bob Nichols, have you ever been there before? Oh, yes. When you didn't have anything? Oh, yes. And I said, you know, someone was kind enough to talk to me like I'm talking to you. Been there before? You'll be there again. But I have some good news for you. Oh, I have some good news for you. Let me tell you the rest of the story. When the Bible goes blank and your head goes blank and the circumstances of your life become complex. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence and to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Do you hear that? I hear that, Pastor. I said, now let me explain it to you. And I just went right down to what I'm saying. No mountain is bigger than the promises of God. The moment your mountain becomes bigger than the promises of God, you do face an impossible problem. No mountain is unmovable. Every mountain can be geographically moved and cast into the midst of the sea. Somewhere else. Completely a change. But the greatest mountain that will ever be moved is that mountain inside of you right now. That mountain inside of you right now. Stop letting that computer come up with the words impossibility, improbability, error, false entry. And start saying, faith in God. Trust in the Lord. I trust in the Lord. I have faith in God. Because the moving of every mountain begins inside of us. But I want them to change. No, you change. When they change, I'll change. You got it backwards. When you change, then things begin to change. That's right. Well, if everybody at work will just change. No, you have it wrong. God's waiting for you to change. You want to keep on preaching your own message now? You want to take it from there? I believe I have you airborne in this thing. The moving of every mountain begins inside of me. We hear the word. We see the word. We believe God's promise. It all starts on the inside of me. What am I going to do about what I already know? Well, I wish the prophet or the prophetess could come to town and give me a word. Most people don't need a word from a prophet or a prophetess. They need to do the last 100 things that God's told them to do and get on the road of obedience to God. I believe in words from God. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes we get a word from God, we say, is there a second opinion? And I'll tell you something, you can find a word that you want from God in the Metroplex. I could give you some addresses and some location. You can get a prophecy that you're in tune with in the Metroplex. But it won't be God, or it may not be God. You know, there's one good thing about the word. You'll never get ptomaine poisoning from the promises of God. You'll never hear something that's going to ruin your life from the Word of God. You'll never do something goofy. You'll never get off on a wrong path or a wrong trail. Read this. Listen to me. Read this book until the lightning of God strikes in your spirit and you know that you know that you know that you've heard a word from God, and then believe it and rejoice in it and speak it and go forward and see God's victory in your life. Man, I've had some goofy prophecies given me over the years, and I've had some great prophecies given. But I'm just, don't you believe everything? No, I don't believe everything said. It's got to bear witness in my spirit. It's got to bear witness with those that have maturity. Amen? And that's just a little pastoring. But let's go back to this. I mean, something's not going to work just because I get a bright idea and I'm going to, by the power of positive thinking, I'm going to push, I'm going to bulldoze this thing through. No, it doesn't work that way. A word of God works. A word that really comes from God works. It moves mountains. You can't improve on that. The Bible said, ye shall say. Say unto what? Unto this mountain. But what about his mountain? That's none of your business. What about her mountain? That's none of your business. Say unto this mountain. Say unto your mountain. Remove hence to yonder place. Go somewhere else, and it shall move. You know, God can so do a work in your life, you'll think it's already moved and it's still there. God can do such a work in you that, I mean, you're so excited you can't wait to look out the window to see that mountain gone. You look out and that mountain is still there. But the change has been on the inside. I'm trying. Praise God. For there is in every believer a seed, be it ever so small. The Bible calls it a mustard seed. I'm glad the Word of God emphasized the mustard seed type of faith, because we would all be looking for the giant seed of something else. But there's a mustard seed. See, the Bible said that in every born-again believer God has given the measure of faith. Now that's why Bible study, and that's why it's important to study the Word of God, for us to increase in understanding over what that seed's all about and grow in the grace and the things of God. But inside every believer, every person in this room today has a seed of faith in you that can move mountains. Every born-again believer in this room or across the world today has a seed in you that can move mountains. Say unto this mountain, and until we change, now write this down, until we change what we are saying, we will never change what we are seeing. Until we change what we are saying, we will never change what we are seeing. That is a profound, simple, but dynamic statement. I want to say it one more time. Until we change what we are saying, we will never change what we are seeing. You know, I could tell you many, many times in my life when I recognized that I was seeing what I'd been saying, and it dawned on me. And also, it dawned on me, I don't want to keep on seeing what obviously I've been saying. So, something's got to give. So I stopped saying what I've been saying so I can start seeing. And I start saying what God's Word says so I can start seeing what God has promised. The things that God has spoken into our life. Until we change what we are saying, we will never change what we are seeing. Reading this morning over in Psalms 125, verses 1 and 2. They that trust in the Lord, Psalms 125, verses 1 and 2. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people forever. There is the changeable, there is the unchangeable. The unchangeable is the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, the sacrifice that He gave us through the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, just go through the Bible. That's the unchanging part of God. He's a God of mercy. He is a God of grace. God is a good God. We didn't hear that so much in the earlier days, at least in my life. We heard a lot about a God of judgment. We heard a lot about, you know, a God that, people were obsessed with tribulation and obsessed with judgment and hell, and hell is real. One of these days this whole thing is going to change as you've never dreamed possible, and just know Jesus and be out of here when that happens. You don't want to be here when the Antichrist comes in. You think it's tough now? I know people say, well, you know, there's situations in the world that are just like tribulation. No, you don't know what tribulation's all about. But thank God, as I got into the Word for myself, I started finding out that God is a good God. Oh, that God loves me and that God loves you. And regardless of your past, God has a glorious present and a glorious future for your life. And I think the kingdom of God should ever be indebted to Dr. Ed Cole in a statement that he made, because so many people have missed it. We live in a world that's Hollywood and videos and stuff. I mean, it's not the way it's not the way I grew up. And so a lot of people get into a lot of things early. I mean, kids know more than we used to know in our teens. Kids have a knowledge. And you know, sin will harden your heart. Even when you're forgiven, unless you understand how to surrender to God, sin, there are memories of sin. There's a distrust that comes with sin. Somebody did something to me and I'll get back some way, somehow. There's a distrust of men or a distrust of women. There's a distrust of trusting anybody. Some people say, I'm afraid to trust anyone. But oh, when the sweetness of God comes into your heart, you can say what David said, I trusted the Lord. God can give you a new tenderness. God can give you a new tenderness. God can give you a new ability to trust. And Dr. Ed Cole said, for those that have been immoral, that if you let God, God can give you a new pureness. God can give you a new virgin spirit. Stop being mad at who took advantage of you. Stop being bitter. Stop being reactionary. Stop being mad at the world because somebody took advantage of me. And oh, just let the love of God, let the love of God be shed abroad in your hearts. Hallelujah. From this point on, God can make you tender. God can make you sweet. God can put a spirit of mercy in you. God can give you a new love. God can give you a new understanding. Life is worth living. You don't have to wake up every morning mad at the world and kicking the wall and feeling like life has nothing for me. Oh, speak to that mountain. Speak to that mountain of harshness and hardness and unforgiveness. And speak to that mountain that even though morality and tenderness and things have been lost, and say, Lord, I speak to every mountain in my life that is not of God. And from this day forward, I can't help what happened in the past, but the past is under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And from this moment forward, I'm going to live with a capital L. I'm going to trust God with a capital T. I'm going to swim out in the waters of God's grace and God's love. I'm going to enjoy the rest of my life. I'm going to enjoy God's goodness and His mercy. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. You see, by faith, as we trust in the Lord, we're unmovable, but our mountains are movable. And as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people forever. You know, one thing that going to Israel just preaches to me every time I go, there is no reason under the sun why Israel should still be there. There's no reason under the sun why they should have become a nation in 1948. They're just a thumbprint in the midst of this vast area of real estate. It seems like from the north, the south, the east, or the west, they could crush tiny Israel just like you'd step on an ant walking down a pathway. But God has kept that nation. But God has kept the nation of Israel. God has kept that nation from being wiped out, both by the populace of armies or whatever. And my friend, just as surely as Israel became a nation according to Bible prophecy, according to what the Word of God said, just as surely in 1948, when everything was against them becoming a nation, Israel became a nation, and they're still a nation, just as surely as every enemy has said, we're going to annihilate them. I don't think the whole nation's over 20 miles across. Is it 20 miles across? That's not very far. That's why they have jets with motors running, and that's why they have jet aircraft in the air most of the time. I mean, 20 miles is, that's not very far. But I tell you in this audience today, no matter what your past has been, angels have their motors running. I'll tell you, the jets of heaven are in the air. The jets of mercy and grace and God's love. And as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about those that trust in Him. Oh God, we trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We lean not to our own understanding. In all of our ways we acknowledge You, and You direct our paths. We were there on location more than once. They went through a time they kind of de-emphasized the war side of Israel when trying to have more of a peaceful, trying to make peace with people who didn't want to make peace. But I was there on location. I saw it. We're an Israeli farmer just down the hill, down the mountain, in his little Ford tractor, was out plowing his field, and he'd see some soil rise every once in a while because they'd just take shots, not to hit him, just to devil him. Just shoot around his tractor. And one day something clicked in him. Follow me. He drove his tractor back to the house. They thought it was just lunchtime, but they couldn't see that he went through the back door of his little home and went down under a little covering of brush. And he went around the mountain and took his rifle and went up on top of that mountain and cleaned out a bunker of 13 soldiers, just like in Bible days. One farmer in his coveralls takes his rifle up there and gets in the trench, and 18 of the enemies that have been deviling his life are now history. Goes back down the hill, gets on his Ford tractor, and finishes taking care of business. I'm telling you, that's what God's telling us in this audience today. I mean, every time you look around, you see some soil, someone shooting at me, something's happening. Well, just get off your little tractor and get on your knees before God and speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. And just turn God loose on them. Turn Michael and Gabriel and those mighty angels of God. Just turn them loose on the enemy. And I'm telling you, giants entrenched in strong mountains stand helpless before a faith that is born of the heart of God. God is a mountain-moving God.